Well, this morning, our scripture passage is Ezekiel chapter 37. Last week, we were in Ezekiel chapter 36 and Ezekiel's vision of the new hearts. Today, we are in 37, which is another of his hopeful visions involving the valley of the dry bones. And then next Sunday, we're going to wrap up with the third of Ezekiel's visions as we look at the end of the book and the vision of the new temple. The name of the series is Live Again. Live Again. So let us now hear the word of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put my breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for your word that gives life to your people. We open our hearts now and our ears to receive your word, Lord, as it is proclaimed today. Make us thirsty for your word, hungry for it, Lord. And may it touch us, and may it cause us to live again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What is the strangest thing that you have ever seen? Well, I grew up in a small town in North Mississippi called Halka, and I have seen a lot of strange things living in a small town. Let me tell you what the strangest thing I saw one day was. So we were in town, and we saw a car, a four-door car that was driving through town. All four windows were down in the car, and out of each window there was an arm sticking out. So on the driver's side, front, back, arm, passenger side, front, back, arm. And those arms were attached to a sofa. I mean a full-blown sofa, a three-cushion sofa, a 70 or 84-inch sofa. They had placed the thing. This is the genius of folks in Halka, all right? So they didn't have a truck to transport the sofa in. So they said, hey, we could put it on the roof of the car. And if each of us puts an arm out, we can hold it in place. That's strange. That's strange. Well, the Bible, y'all, is full of some strange things, strange stories. I mean, in the Bible, we hear donkeys or see donkeys talking. You ever seen a donkey talk? Me either. That's strange. Also in the Bible, we find a story about a man who was swallowed by a huge fish. Strange. I can't explain it. It's probably one of the top five has to be this vision that Ezekiel has here in this story. It's bizarre. This prophet, he sees this valley, and it's filled with all these dry human bones. Now, this isn't some typical valley like we're familiar with. There's not a beautiful river flowing through the valley with lush trees and greenery and all of that sort of thing. No, this is a desert. It's a desolate place. It's littered with bones. It's a dreadful sounding place. It's not a place I would want to see. And it's not like one anyone has ever seen. There are human bones all scattered around this valley. And Ezekiel calls them dry bones. Now, the original Hebrew there gives us the impression that these bones have no life in them. There's no marrow in the bones. They're completely dried up. They're dead bones. Dead bones. And Ezekiel begins to wonder about these bones. Can they live again? Can there be life in them again? And y'all, we wonder the same thing, don't we? We wonder, can things that appear dead live again? Can they live again? A few years ago, Debbie, my wife and I, we bought some limelight hydrangeas. We needed some beautiful flowers in the front of the house, so we went down to the nursery and we bought several pots of these limelights. And we planted them in our front yard and we loved them. They were so pretty when they bloomed. And what we come to find out is that deer love them too. Oh yes, deer, they love to eat these hydrangeas. The first night, they came out and they stripped like half a bush. They stripped the little flowers off and the leaves. And the next night, they came and stripped the other half of it. On nights 3, 4, and 5, they came out and they stripped another bush and another bush and another bush. They ate 4 bushes in all, and they had a 4-course meal that cost us $100. All they left were sticks. Nothing. Just sticks in the ground. And I wondered, is there any hope for these bushes? Can we bring them back? You know, if I just put some mulch around them and maybe add a little Miracle-Gro, will they live again? Nope. I can tell you, they did not live again at all, not one bit. Well, let me ask you, can things that appear dead live again? It depends. Can a marriage live again? Can a broken life find new life again? Can a church be filled with new vision and hope again? God asked Ezekiel what he thinks. Can this valley of bones find new life again? And Ezekiel's response is a very good one. Lord, you're the only one that knows. Only you know, Lord. And so the Lord instructs Ezekiel to start preaching to the bones. Preach to the bones, he says. And he does. You know, as a preacher, I can identify with Ezekiel because there's been once or twice that I've preached to what I thought was a room full of dry bones. But they weren't, because after the closing hymn, they got up and they sort of made their way out the back door. Maybe there was life in them after all. Well, Ezekiel starts preaching to these bones that are just lying on the ground. He preaches the word of the Lord to them. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the power of preaching God's word? Do you? Yes. Yes. Well, I do too. Y'all, I went to annual conference a couple of weeks ago, and this year I went with a weary soul. I was dried up. I was grieving when I went to annual conference this year. On Wednesday of annual conference, we voted to ratify the vote of congregations to leave our connection. And y'all, it was a hard thing to do. Four of the churches that I served are no longer part of our connection. They're gone. There were dozens of pastor friends of mine, my brothers and sisters in covenant, that I have shared and grown up in ministry together, that have left our denomination. Y'all, I was grieving. It hurt me in a deep, deep place. I was weeping. I was sad. I felt brokenhearted. I shed tears. I felt like a pile of dry bones. And I went to annual conference this year not really expecting what happened. But on Wednesday, the bishop, after that vote, took a little break and came back and preached the word of God to us. Preached God's word over us. It was a powerful message that the Lord used to touch me in a very real way in my own heart. It wasn't necessarily the words that she said, but it was the word of God that she spoke. And she preached that day. I felt fire burning in me. The Holy Spirit was present in that worship service. Something started to stir inside of me. And I felt the Lord bring a peace over me. And I shed tears of joy. I believed again. I was encouraged again. I felt like there was a reason to hope again. Preaching the Word of God, y'all, can inspire us. It can. It can inspire us, and it can also enable us to be touched by the Holy Spirit. And this is what God commands Ezekiel to do. He tells him to preach. And he preaches. He says, dry bones, you will live again. Dry bones, breath will enter you again. And you will come back to life. And as he proclaims this message over him, something starts happening to the bones. They rattle around. And they come back together. They come back to life. And Ezekiel prophesies to the wind. He calls to the wind. He says, blow, wind. Come on. Come on, wind. Blow upon these bodies. Blow upon this community. Blow upon these bones. And it blows through the valley. And life, God's life, invigorates the bones. And y'all, this story reminds us of the Genesis chapter 2 and the creation of humanity. When God forms from the dust of the earth human beings, and they're not animated. There's no life in them until God breathes divine breath, spirit into them, and they live. They live. Now, what does all of this mean? What does it mean for us today? Well, on one level, we need to understand that Ezekiel chapter 37 is a vision. It's a dream of sorts. It's not a literal thing. Ezekiel doesn't see this as a literal valley of bones, but he's having a vision or a dream, and the vision illustrates something that's going on in the nation of Israel at the time. Last week, when we introduced ourselves to this section of Ezekiel, we learned that Ezekiel's around 30 years old. He's in Babylon. He's sitting by the river. He's celebrating his birthday, the day that he would have been consecrated as a priest in the temple. And God's people have been stripped from their land. They are in exile. And the army of Babylon is on the doorsteps, ready to march and completely and utterly destroy the nation, the temple. And so Ezekiel is seeing all of this. He's sad. He's devastated at this vision and what the Babylonians were about to do. Families were torn apart and split up and separated. And soon the temple is destroyed. And if the temple is gone, then in the people's mind, God is gone. The presence of God is left the land, left the people. And they feel that God is absent. When you feel that God is absent in your life, you feel pretty dry, don't you? You feel pretty dried up. You feel like dead bones. Have you ever been there? I'm just wondering, is there anyone can relate to what Ezekiel is describing here? Have you ever felt as though God were absent in your life? Your prayers don't seem to be getting through anymore. Are you stressed out? Are you burnt out? You know what that feels like? I've been there. Is your health in such a shape that you feel worn out physically, spiritually? Do you know what this feels like? What it means to feel as though God is absent? Y'all, sometimes our church can feel that way too. We can feel like a valley in here of dry bones. Where's the vision? Where's our mission? Where's our purpose? We can feel defeated sometimes. Do we lack motivation and life to get us moving and living again and serving again? We can feel that way. Our only hope is for God to remake us, to recreate us, and cause us to feel the love of God burning like a flame, like a passion, like a desire and a motivation to feel the Spirit among us. Our only hope is for God's wind to blow. In the midst of a desert place littered with hopelessness, dry bones, God says to the preacher, can they live again? Y'all, that's a question. That's a question for all of us to think about this morning. Can we hope again? Can we imagine something better again? Can we have faith? Can we live again? Y'all, this is a story of assurance. This story says that God can restore His people when they are dry and weary. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, y'all are with me. Y'all are alive. Can God breathe new life when we're worn and lifeless? Can God come upon His people? Can He breathe new life into us? Yes. There's a story from the life of Jesus in John chapter 11. He comes to Bethany. He's been summoned there. His good friend Lazarus has died. When Jesus arrives, he's been in the tomb for 3 days. Mary and Martha, they come out, they say to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died." And Jesus says in response to Martha, he says, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And she says, "Oh Lord, yes, I believe. I believe. I believe that you are resurrection. And Jesus, you are life." Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the hope of resurrection and life? Yes. Yes. Y'all, when all seems lost, Ezekiel says, "Wait. Wait. God will restore us." It doesn't mean life will always be easy. No, it doesn't. Sometimes we have to wait a little while. But God will always be with us through it. We are not defeated. No child of God is ever defeated because God gets the last word. He gets it. He does. Our God is with us, and He's a powerful God. And our God says, "Oh, my people, oh, my people, my people, I will open up your graves. I will open them up, and you will live." And when this happens, you will know that it is the Lord who did it. "I will cause you to rise again. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again." "Yes, Lord," we say to that. "Yes, Lord, do it again. Yes, Lord, raise us up. Yes, Lord, fill us with spirit and breath. Yes, Lord, give us vision and hope. No matter what it is that we're going through, Lord, be with us. Help us to rise again." What we need to do is be faithful to 3 things. Proclaim the word of the Lord. Know the word of the Lord. Pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Pray for it. Open your heart. Receive it. The Word of God, the Spirit of God. And then seek the vision. Seek a fresh vision for your life, for your church. When we have vision, there is life. There's purpose. We're going to be doing those 3 things together. At the moment, it may feel like we're down in that valley. But I tell you, church, hold on. Don't lose faith. Don't do it. All our vision may see at times can be death and defeat. You may be dealing with the hardest thing that life has to offer you, but you will endure. If you put your faith in Christ our Savior, He will get us through because you are a child of God. In the valley, there are not only dry bones, but the living God is in the valley as well. The Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, stirs down in the valley. It awakens. It awakens in the valley. He won't abandon us. God will see us through. We can live again. You believe it? Amen. Amen. Please join me in our prayer of confession as we pray together. It's found in your bulletins. Gracious God, God of all compassion and consolation, Your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. We confess that we need you to pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith through Christ our Lord. Help us to move in step with the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, which calls us out of the valley of dry bones and into the kingdom of God, both a present reality and the grounding of our future hope. Sovereign Lord, you know our faults, and yet you promise to forgive. Keep us in your presence and give us your wisdom. Open our hearts to feel hope again. Call dry bones to live again, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And I invite us to continue our prayer as we sing together our closing hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. It's hymn number 420. 420 in your hymnals. I invite you to stand, and we will sing the first and